Today marks the National Park Service's 100th anniversary. You heard about that this morning on NPR. All this summer, we've been bringing you audio postcards from some of the men and women in uniform who represent national historical parks in our region. This morning, we hear from Cindy McLeod, superintendent of Independence National Historical Park in Philadelphia. I caught up with her for a walk around some of the park grounds along 3rd and Walnut Street yesterday. As we walked in the warm sunshine, I learned a few things about our nation's history. I started off asking her, what's the difference between the great big national parks that many of us enjoy and national historical parks?
No difference at all. We have the same mission. It's to protect the places and provide for their enjoyment by visitors from current and future generations.
I was thinking about when people go on safari and they're looking for the big five animals that you can see in the wild. What are kind of the big ticket items that people come to see?
Independence Hall has to be the headliner because of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution having been debated, adopted, and signed here. Right after that, I tell people not to miss Congress Hall. The guys had all the super ideas in the Pennsylvania State House, now Independence Hall, but it was in Congress Hall that they had to make those ideas work. The first bank of the United States. We don't always talk as much about the financial foundation of our country, but that's what the first bank gives us the opportunity to do. Alexander Hamilton, of course, was the champion of a national bank, and he was able to convince George Washington over Thomas Jefferson's objections. Now, I grew up in Charlottesville, so my hometown boy was not right on this. And it's a good thing that Alexander Hamilton had this idea and stuck with it, and that the Congress did charter the first bank because it unified our currency and it allowed us to pay down the national debt and the state debt. And that really got us started in being able to be a player on the world stage.
Of course, many people beeline to the Liberty Bell.
You're right. What an icon. When people walk in that building and look at it, I can see the little shivers of awe go down their spines. And my favorite thing for people to realize is that it was the abolitionists who gave it its name, the Liberty Bell. Previously, it was the Pennsylvania State House Bell. But in the 1830s, when the abolition movement was gaining a lot of strength and they were able to look at the inscription on the bell, proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all inhabitants therein, that these people said, this is really a powerful thing, and this would be a great symbol for our movement. We'll call it the Liberty Bell.
What's in Independence Hall in the belfry?
There's a bell there. How about that?
Which one?
It's the Centennial Bell. And where the Liberty Bell weighs just over 2,000 pounds, it weighs, I think, 13,000 pounds. And it was put in there, obviously, for the centennial of the country.
Do we ring it?
It rings every hour.
Where am I when it's ringing?
It rings every hour. It is made of metal melted from other things. Cannon from the Revolutionary War, at least one from Saratoga, one from Colonial, Yorktown, and two from Gettysburg, one from the north and one from the south. It was meant as part of the whole reconciliation of our country. Even then, after the Civil War, we were still coming together. So this melting of all the cannon was another symbolic step.
We're standing in the sun, we're melting, even though it's such a beautiful summer day. Let's continue our walk and find some shade.
Great.
Oh, we're coming upon a really beautiful little, it's a kind of a dainty fountain.
Somebody's decorated it with marigolds. Isn't that something?
Yeah, so it's a wall fountain. It has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 little basins, and then a big basin at the bottom.
I don't know an awful lot about the fountains. I know that this was put in probably in the 1960s or 70s as part of the making of Independence National Historical Park.
So it's pretty young.
It's pretty young. Well, when you think about it, Independence National Historical Park is pretty young. 1948, Congress passed legislation for the park.
But it's surrounded by brick that must be really old.
All of this was put in place during the 60s and 70s. They tried to get the park ready for 1976, the bicentennial of the country.
One of the things I really love about this park is there's the history, and then there are these lovely little patches of things, kind of gardens that connect the brick of the city, the slate, the cobblestones, those little textures.
I say the green is the leitmotif that holds all these wonderful historic buildings together and helps give a space for people to enjoy the stories that are from here.